This is the Two Bald Nerds Podcast. Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Two Bald Nerds Podcast. I'm Mark Stachewski, one of the bald nerds, and this co-host of mine is...
I'm Dan Bort, the other bald nerd.
And Danny, can you believe we're on episode 11 already? Isn't that crazy?
That's just insane. Episode 11. Crazy. Crazy, but it's been a fun ride so far.
It has. And we're going to give you a little preview. Our next episode, we're going to geek out on Apple again. We already did it once, but I'm going to watch the WWDC live because I'm a dork like that. Danny said he's going to watch it on replay if you can't watch it live. And we're going to give our thoughts about the new iOS, watchOS, because Danny and I both have we both have Apple Watches. We both have iPads. I have a Mac. And we both have iPhones. So we're going to talk about that in the next episode. I know there's going to be a billion plus episodes around the world talking about WWDC, but we're going to give you the two bald nerds feeling of WWDC. But this week, this episode, we're going to talk about social media use and misuse. This was an idea from Danny. And Danny, I'll tell you, I don't know if you've seen the movie or the documentary, I guess is the proper term, The Social Dilemma. They got a line in there that says, if you're not paying for the product, you are the product. Have you ever heard that? Excuse me, I'm all choked up over it. Have you ever heard of that line before?
You've mentioned that line to me before in our own private conversations. I have yet to watch the documentary. I was actually planning to watch it this past weekend, but then realized it was Memorial Day weekend, which was cram-packed. So, but it is on my Netflix feed to watch. I'm very interested to see it after talking to you about it.
Yeah, and definitely hit me up on texting. Let me know what you think about it, because it's very sobering. And if, listener, if you haven't heard, watch that documentary, even if you don't have Netflix, it's worth getting Netflix for a month, watching The Social Dilemma. It will scare the poop emoji out of you. So let's talk about social media. Now, I use social media way more than Danny does because I'm an entrepreneur and I'm like all over the place on social media. So I thought this was very interesting. My source for these statistics I'm about ready to rattle off from you are from Sprout Social. So as of January 2022, there are 3.96 billion total social media users across all platforms. There's just shy of 8 billion people in the world. So about half the people are on social media. Now, the average person bounces between 7 different social media networks per month. I think right now I use LinkedIn, Snapchat, and YouTube the most. I do post on YouTube and TikTok, but 7 seems like a lot. The amount of time adults use social media across all platforms is now higher than ever, 95 minutes per day. And Danny, as I read through these, if there's anything you want to chime in, just like barge in like a bull in a china shop.
Okay.
TikTok is the fastest growing social media network with a staggering 105% user growth rate in the United States over the past 2 years. It used to be known as Musical.ly. I will be completely honest with you. I am Mr. Productivity, my other podcast, the Mark Stachewski Podcast. I tell people, stay away from TikTok. It is so addicting. I post things on TikTok, but I don't watch anything on TikTok. It is that addicting. Despite the gloom and doom, Facebook, now known as Meta, remains the most used platform by marketers worldwide at 93%. Instagram is at second place at 78%.
Now, Facebook, that still seems kind of odd to me. I mean, I get it, but man, Facebook really is entrenched in our society, isn't it?
Uh-huh. And you know what Facebook is? There's two things Facebook is known really well for, that they do things really well, and I'm putting really well in air quotes here. Number one is groups. Hands down, nobody comes close. The other thing is my next topic. Facebook Messenger is on track to reach an impressive 3 billion, that's with a B, users over the course of 2022. And I just texted you a few minutes before we started recording that there's an Apple expert out there that says, do not download Facebook Messenger. We did an episode on privacy not too long ago. Go check that episode out. Facebook Messenger is not end-to-end encrypted. Now, Danny, for those people who didn't watch, or I'm sorry, listen to the other episode, why is end-to-end encryption so important?
End-to-end encryption is important because you want to have any communication that you're having with whoever you're communicating with encrypted from your device all the way through to the device that you're communicating with. If it's not end-to-end encrypted, that means some party in between, whether it be people working at Facebook or somebody snooping your network, can actually see the context of your messages.
So if you want to maintain privacy, delete Facebook Messenger. I don't have Facebook Messenger or Facebook on my iPhone, and I very rarely use them, actually. Here's another statistic. 1 in 3 adults regularly consumes news on Facebook. Why would you do that? I have no idea. Signaling the popularity of timely and often controversial content on the platform. Danny, as you and I know, Facebook is not a trusted news source. They lean left. And if you're a liberal, you're still welcome to the show. But Danny and I are both conservatives.
Yeah,
I don't understand why anybody would get their news from Facebook.
It's interesting because I'm actually going to touch on one of those on that particular point later on during the misuse portion of the show. Okay. But it's scary. It really is.
Yeah. Instagram dominates social streaming services in terms of engagement. 81% engagement versus Facebook's 8%. You heard that right. Instagram's engagement, 81%. Facebook is 8%. That's because, as I already said, Facebook is really big on groups and the messenger. Wow. Instagram stories, 83%, and grid posts, 93%, remain the most popular types of content among influencers. However, this is very quickly changing. The hottest thing on Instagram right now is Instagram Reels. If you don't know what an Instagram Reel is, think of TikTok. They're really short, 60 seconds or less videos. 16.2% of LinkedIn users use the platform, daily. That's about 48.5% log in every month. That's me. I'm a daily user of LinkedIn. Twitter boasts 436 million monthly active users total worldwide. 52% of Twitter users use the platform daily versus 84% that use it weekly. Pinterest. I don't use Pinterest at all. Boosts 400 plus million monthly active users and over 240 billion pins saved in total. I thought this was very interesting, Danny. 39% of Gen Z consumers say that their purchasing decisions are influenced directly by what they see on TikTok. Now, I had to go look up what Gen Z was because I don't remember. So Gen Z, or Generation Z, colloquially also known as Zoomers, that's what my dog gets when she gets excited, but I digress, is a Democratic cohort of succeeding millennials and preceding Generation Alpha. I'm like, what? So researchers in popular media used the mid to late 1990s, not me, as starting the birth years and the 2010s as ending birth years. Most members of Generation Z are children of Generation X. Of course, what is Generation X? Yes. Generation X is the mid to late 1960s. That's me as starting birth years, and the late 1970s to early 1980s as ending birth years, with the generation being generally defined as people born from 65 to 1980. I was born in 1965, so I'm right at the cutting edge. Now, I think you are also a Gen X, aren't you?
I'm a Gen Xer because I was born in 74. So that would put me towards the end, but not quite the end.
Okay. Now, before we move on to the top social media sites, anything you want to comment on about the statistics? The mind-blowing statistics I just shared.
So I would, there's two real quick things. One thing is that I find it very interesting that in the world of media in general, that Twitter seems to be keyed in as such a major player when you look at the raw numbers, it doesn't look to be as major a player in terms of usage as the media experts would have us think. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty fair assessment, right? You're talking about some of these have in the billions of users, and Twitter's really, I mean, don't get me wrong, 436 million monthly active users is a pretty heavy number, but it's nothing in comparison with some of the other ones.
Now, you mentioned Twitter. Before you get to your second point, what do you think about Elon Musk buying Twitter? He said he wants to restore free speech. I know I don't mean to offend anyone. I know the snowflakes over at Twitter are losing their minds. But I think Twitter, if they went back more to the center and allow both sides to voice their opinions, I think they would become an even more major player. Do you agree with that?
I wholeheartedly agree with that. I honestly believe that Elon Musk strikes me as being, and I think I've even read this somewhere, that he's much more of a libertarian. Mm-hmm. And his real goal is that we should have free speech because the free marketplace of ideas is really where you weed out the good ideas from the not so good ideas. And you right. just let people have it out. And generally speaking, people will begin to recognize the good ideas from the bad ideas, and the bad ideas will eventually filter themselves out. When you have a company like Twitter now that is filtering out ideas and you're only seeing one side or one particular viewpoint, there is no marketplace of ideas. So that's kind of a little bit of a soapbox. But I do believe that they would become a much bigger player if Elon's deal goes through and he's able to accomplish what he wants to accomplish.
Now, did you remember the second point, or did I distract you?
I do remember the second point. So Pinterest is an interesting one because I actually use Pinterest. That's one of those oddball ones that you wouldn't think someone like me would use because, again, I'm not really on social media. But what I find really fascinating about Pinterest is I can find a lot of things about maker stuff. So when I say maker stuff, it could be technology maker stuff, but I also find lots of ideas for building wood projects on Pinterest.
Oh, okay.
No lie. There are tons of people on there that will put their projects on Pinterest with photos, and then they will link them to a blog article that has instructions on how to actually do it, or maybe a YouTube video. But it has a very good search. I think it has a very good search engine built in for that kind of thing, for searching for that kind of stuff. You know, you got little cards that pop up and stuff like that. Recipes are another big one I know that's on there, but I got into it because I was looking for, I was actually looking for specific designs for a grill gazebo at one point. And okay. I just got hooked on it, not really hooked on it, but like there's lots of really good stuff on there. So people are using it for that.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's move on to the top social media apps. And Danny, when I was doing the research for this, I was blown away. I found this one website, Tech President. Now, this is as of May 6, 2022. And I'm like, are there really this many social media apps? But thing, we only know the big ones, but there's a lot of big ones in other countries. And we just think, hey, we're just America and there is no other nation, but there are. So what are some of the major, we're obviously not going to go extensively on all 22 of these I found, but what are the big ones? I know the number one is the one you and I both cringe at, but you might as well just rip the bandage off and hit that one first.
Right. So I'll hit the top 10 and then some of the other major players that a lot of us are probably familiar with or at least have had a surface passing of. But number one, obviously, is Facebook. 2.8 billion monthly active users. That's by far the biggest one. YouTube is an interesting one because I don't necessarily see YouTube as a social media platform as much as a content consumption platform. So it's funny that it falls into the social media platform, but that's got 2.9 billion active users.
Now, this is billion with a B, by the way, in case
billion.
That's not a million. This is a lot of people.
Yeah. Billion with a B. WhatsApp is next at number three. 2 billion active users.
I don't know why they consider it a social media app either. That confuses me too.
Yeah, I thought that was more of an instant messaging app. But whatever. You know, they obviously have a certain way of collating what they consider social media, right? Maybe because you could do groups on some of these things.
True.
Facebook Messenger comes in at number four with 1.3 billion. And these are all active monthly active users, so I'll just hit them and read the numbers. Instagram is at 2 billion. That's another very popular one, obviously owned by Facebook, right? Instagram's owned by Facebook. And
owned by Meta. You got to get it right, Danny.
I'm sorry, Meta. My apologies to Mr. Z. Meta. And WhatsApp is also owned by Meta, is it not?
Yes, it is. Part of the metaverse.
Yes, the metaverse. Those commercials, they kill me. But anyway, yeah. I digress. Number six is WeChat, which is very popular in China with 1.22 billion. Number seven rolls in with TikTok, 1 billion monthly active users. TikTok, again, that's a big one. I'm not on TikTok, Mark. You say stay away from TikTok.
Yeah, so please stay away from it.
Number eight, LinkedIn. Now we're getting into the millions. So this is 610 million with an M. I'm on LinkedIn just for the professional, which is really what it is. It's more for professional, trying to think of the word there. It's networking. More for professional networking, right? And it does a really good job at that, I must say.
Yeah.
I just, matter of fact, I just recently found somebody I hadn't connected with since I was in college.
Wow.
And he popped up on my feed. Must be it was associated somewhere from, you know, we both hail from the same area. And I was able to connect with him, and he's now living in Tennessee. So it's interesting how that worked out.
Nice.
Number nine, I'm probably not going to pronounce this right, but it's Douyin. 600 million active users. It's like TikTok, but it's catered for a Chinese audience. And then number 10 comes in with QQ, literally QQ. 595 million active users, and that's a Chinese instant messaging and web portal. So those are the top 10 based on this source. There are some other ones that most of us are probably at least heard in passing that are on this list. You've got Telegram on here, Snapchat's on here, Pinterest, which we already covered, Reddit is on here, Twitter's on here, Quora. I think it's pronounced Quora.
That's Quora.
Quora, which is an interesting one because I'm not sure you would necessarily, I guess you could classify it as a social media platform, but it's really just people asking questions and then other people answering those questions. So
yeah,
kind of interesting to me. Then there's a couple on here I never heard of, like Clubhouse. Although, Mark, you may have told me about Clubhouse a while ago. Mm-hmm. And then Tumblr, which used to be a more of a, I can't think of the right term for it. It was more of a Facebook kind of blogging site.
Yeah, microblogging.
Microblogging site. It seems like it's now turned into a social media.
I haven't been on Tumblr in a million years. I didn't know it was a thing. I'm like, really? They're still around?
Yeah, I didn't think they were either. I remember they got into a lot of hot water about some of the content that was being posted on there.
Yep.
And then I thought they literally, like, fell off the planet. I didn't even realize they were still a thing. So
yeah,
so that's the big list.
And I do like this one from Russia. I don't know how to say it. Von Vakontaki or whatever. It's an app only in Russia. Of course, we don't really talk a lot about Russia anymore because of what they're doing in the Ukraine. But it's just really interesting how social media has exploded. And I remember when there's just Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Now there's so many out there. But, Danny, you know what my favorite social media platform is, don't you?
I do.
What is it?
It's number 13 on the list. It's Snapchat.
Snapchat. Now, to put this into perspective for the listener, I will be 57 on June 21st. So write that down on your calendar. Send me birthday greetings or money or both. So I love Snapchat because the reason why I love Snapchat is it's fun. And you can only do two things on Snapchat. Post videos and pictures. There's no groups. There's no timeline. There's no going live. There's none of this stuff. It's just pictures and videos. And I really love Snapchat. So if you're not familiar with Snapchat, I encourage you. It's not for kids anymore. Just for kids anymore. A lot of those kids have gone over to TikTok. I encourage you to download Snapchat and just try it out. It's fun. Danny's actually gotten back on the Snapchat because of his godson and me. It's kind of fun. So check it out. Snapchat is a popular choice when on the go, commuting, or traveling. So many of its users choose to document via Snapchat over other platforms whenever they're on the move. And if you send someone a picture or you take a picture, it's called taking a snap. People often use Snapchat when hanging out with friends. 34% of people say they use Snapchat more than other social media while hanging out with their friends. I don't know how they got that number. They must have surveyed a bunch of people. This is likely because it's become a common way to capture memories with those they're closest to. 19% of users turn to Snapchat while shopping, and 14% use it while attending social events. Now, the app has launched 101 product features since 2011, including introduction of stories, which was stolen by Mark Z on Instagram and Facebook. Also, spectacles, which I have never used, but they're pretty cool. I've seen other people use them. Voice filters, Bitmoji. Bitmoji is the bomb. And Danny knows this when I'm texting him. I'm always, if I can find a Bitmoji, I send the Bitmoji. That's pretty cool. They also have Bitmoji TV and Spotlight, which is a way you can create a snap and let the whole Snapchat universe see it. But unlike Instagram, this is moderated. So if you do a great snap and you put like a link to your website, they won't approve it. So it's kind of, I don't like that part about it. It ranks as the 12th most popular social media platform worldwide. It's reported that an average of over 5 billion snaps are created daily. On average, users spend about 30 minutes on Snapchat a day, and Snapchat was rated a 70 for customer satisfaction in the United States. The source for this statistic was the Social Shepherd. So, Danny, you know I love Snapchat. Now, are you going to start trying to learn more things about Snapchat? Because I'll give you this. It's not the easiest app to learn.
It's not, and that's probably one of the reasons why I've stayed away from it. My godson, Zach, is on Snapchat because obviously he's 17, and what 17-year-old isn't on Snapchat? So the learning curve, for me at least, is getting there. But I will tell you, the filters are awesome. And the fact that you can just post pictures and there's none of that other fluff that's on there, it's really nice. And it's a very unique way of communicating, right? You take a picture and you can actually put your text message on the picture. So it's like a real-time snap of whatever it is you're doing at the moment with whatever kind of caption you want to put in there. And there's obviously other things you can do, but I've gotten to at least that far. I was actually doing it back and forth with my godson the other day, just kind of testing some things out. He gets a kick out of it. He laughs at me because he's like, Uncle Dan, Snapchat, what are you doing?
Here's a pop quiz for you. Two major players tried to buy Snapchat. One of them tried to buy it twice. Do you know who those two people were?
You know what? I do not.
Number one was Facebook. They tried to buy it not once, but twice. And Google tried to buy Snapchat. So Snapchat declined it, and they're still holding their own. And I think I've talked to a lot of friends who have gone on Snapchat, and you know why they say they like Snapchat? It's not owned by Mark Zuckerberg. That's the number one reason why people go over there, which is crazy. Anyways, so let's talk about the other part of the show today as we come to the end of our show already. This has been a really fun episode. Danny's going to walk us through the social media issues on misuse. So, Danny, take it away.
All right. So I collected a lot of this information by reading several different articles. So what we can do is, if you're interested in the actual source material, I can post it in our WhatsApp group that we have. So if you go to WhatsApp and you look up the number 2, bald, BALD, and nerds, NERDZ, on WhatsApp, you can come into the group. You can, we'll invite you into the group and you should be good. And you can get, well, we can put the source material out there.
Excellent.
So, all right. So I'm going to cover these social media issues. Again, like I said, go to the WhatsApp group. We'll invite you in. You can get the sources. There's a lot of interesting information out there about the misuses of social media. Probably the number one most people are familiar with is cyberbullying. This has become a big thing. It's been in the news a lot. Yep. There was a report done by the Cyberbullying Institute in 2019.
That's sad that we have that institute.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, it's actually called the it's hard to say that word, Cyberbullying Institute.
Wow.
But they did a survey of U.S. middle and high school students and found that over 36% reported having been cyberbullied at some point in their life.
Wow.
With 30% having been victimized twice or more. Think about that. 30% twice or more. Wow. It also found that almost 15% admitted to having cyberbullied someone at least once, and nearly 11% admitted to doing it two or more times.
Jeez.
So it just goes to show you that there is, and it goes back to the fact that all of these have to do with the fact that it's at a distance, right? Social media, mm-hmm. you can be somebody else because there is a digital gap between you. There is a physical gap between you and somebody else.
Yeah, you would say things on social media that you would never say in person.
Exactly. That's an excellent way to put it. One of the other things that was measured that I read a lot about was the impact of social media on politics. No matter what side of the fence you're on, because this isn't really a political show, but there was a study done by the Pew Research Foundation that claims that about 1 in 5 U.S. adults get their political news primarily through social media. Now, let me stop and read that again. 1 in 5 U.S. adults get their political news primarily through social media,
which mainly leans left.
Yes. And again, much of social media is opinion. Mm-hmm. So we have to think about, you have to factor that in. The study also finds that those who do get their political news primarily through social media tend to be less well-informed and more likely to be exposed to unproven claims than people who get their news from traditional sources.
Wow.
So, big one. There's this concept of slacktivism, with an S, slacktivism. And basically what they did is there was a University of British Columbia School of Business did a study on this. And what they found is that by giving people the option of liking a social cause, it makes them more likely to not engage in that cause in real life, whether it be going out and volunteering or giving money or things like that. They use it as like an opt out of actually committing time and money to a charitable cause. On the other hand, when people are allowed to show support in private, they are more likely to offer meaningful support by like making a financial contribution.
Wow.
There's an impact on relationships. One of the effects of social media is encouraging people to form and cherish quote unquote social media friendships over actual friendships. This gets into a lot of probably what might have been talked about in that documentary. But what we've noticed, right, and what you had just made mention of, the whole point of these social media outlets is to keep you in the social media outlet that you're in and not let you out. And obviously the best way to do that is to get you to scroll or to be talking to people through these social media outlets. And how do you really get to learn or understand or know somebody when you're just doing it through text messages, through a screen, when you're not having real interactions with them? Even if it's an interaction over a real live phone call, right? Or an actual voice call. When you're just texting back and forth, you really don't know who's on the other end of that. And we've seen stories in the media about that all the time. Another thing to take into consideration is the concept of aggravated cognitive bias. And if you notice that in social media, we like, share, and post information that confirm what we already are biased about. So if you think about it, you go on to a topic and you are actually posting your opinion or how you feel about a subject, that is technically a bias. Such bias discounts information that could challenge the preconceived belief, and this limits the view and negates other perspectives that can enrich our own viewpoints. So that's, again, the other side of the coin argument, right? You're only getting one side of the argument. You might be in there only arguing one side, and you're only seeing the responses from one side. You're not seeing the responses from the other side, so you're not really getting the full picture. Misplaced critical thinking is another thing that I found that was interesting. It's social media is full of opinions stated as fact, and many people fail to realize this and fail to do the adequate follow-up research. The constant subjectivity as fact limits critical thinking. I mean, think about that. When you're constantly bombarded with opinion as fact and you're not doing your own research, you're actually retraining your brain to believe that subjectivity is actually fact.
Yep.
Crazy. And then, of course, the big one is social media addiction. That's another big one. This tends to happen more with the younger folks because they're at that age where they're the most impressionable. But social media addiction is a thing, and it's generally based on either amount or of consumption. So there's two ways to look at it. It's either the amount they consume social media or how their consumption affects their mood. So they might not consume a lot, but like say they consume social media and then they get really super heated, or they might not consume it a lot, but they have certain times when they do consume it. And if they miss that time, then they become depressed or they become anxious because they can't get on their phone right away. So it might not be the overall total time that they're on it, but it's the fact that those times that they want to be on it, when they don't get it, they become a different person and they show those signs of an addictive personality or those, you know, an addiction disorder. It can obviously mess with self-esteem, cyberbullying. You get on there and you start believing what some of these people say about you. You make a comment, they come back and they blister you for a while about what you said. And now you start thinking, oh, these people think I'm a jerk or whatever, right? That can obviously ruin your self-esteem if you're putting more into what these people are saying than what you really should.
And something else that is affecting a lot of the teenage girls, when they post something on Instagram, if they don't get a certain number of likes or comments, like within minutes, they will take off, they will remove that post, and then they'll go into the anxiety and the depression because they are getting their, what's the word I'm looking for? They're looking for their recognition. They're looking for approval from people on social media. And if they don't get it, they think something's wrong with them because their frontal precortex hasn't fully developed and realized just because people don't like your stuff doesn't mean that people don't like you. People are, we think more about what people think about ourselves than people actually do think about ourselves.
Right.
I mean, I was on YouTube Live not too long ago. No one showed up live, but you know what? I looked at it like I'm still here. I'm learning how to better communicate on YouTube Live. I don't care if no one shows up. I mean, I want them to show up. If they don't, I don't go in depression. I don't get anxious. But then I'm an entrepreneur and I very rarely consume social media. I am pushing out content on social media to help people. But what right. we're talking about here with the anxiety and all sorts of stuff, this is because people get their approval through other people on social media.
Yep. And one of the interesting points that I did pull out of that article is the social media can severely take advantage of a person's sense of social competitiveness and belonging, often making them feel outclassed or less attractive. Basically what you're saying, you know, you put out a post and they don't get the number of likes that they're hoping mm-hmm. to get, or they're not get the responses. It'll literally affect them mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And then social anxiety is another one that people get. So people who already struggle to maintain interpersonal relationships, like people who are very introverted, and I can sort of identify with being an introvert because I'm a sort of introverted person myself. But I've also gotten to the point where I don't really care what other people think about me. The definition of introvert is an interesting definition, and it's not really a nerdy topic in and of itself. But basically, an introvert is someone who, when they're very stressed and when they need to take a step back, like when they need that, their safe space is with nobody else around. They feel mm-hmm. most comfortable when they have nobody else around. An extrovert is someone who feels most comfortable when there's a lot of other people or other people around for them to be a support system. So what social media can do is people who are introverted or have problems with personal relationships in real life, they can get hooked on these platforms. And then when things don't go the way that they want them to go, it makes them again, it affects their self-esteem. It gives them social anxiety. I can't mm-hmm. function in the real world. I can't function in social media. What good am I? You know, that whole kind of snowball effect. So social media is obviously a tool like anything else.
Yes.
I'll conclude with this, right? Social media is a tool like anything else. It's all in how you use it.
Yep. But
that being said, you have to make sure that you understand going in what your intended purpose with social media is, but also understand what social media's intent is with you.
Yep.
Like you said at the top of the thing, if you're not paying for it, you are the product. And these social media platforms are in the business to keep you in the platform. That's the reason yep. that they exist. So if you can wrap your head around that and you can go into it with that, then you can effectively use social media to your advantage. if you realize that you're the type of person that can't, then you might be the kind of person that needs to limit, whether it's self-limiting or through an accountability partner, limit your social media activity so that you don't suffer some of these negative consequences of social media.
And lest you think, listener, that you need to be on social media, one of my favorite authors is Cal Newport. He wrote Deep Work and Digital Minimalism. He is not on any social media platform. He says, I spend my time writing books. So you don't, there's no law in this country that says you have to be on social media. Now, when you're a small solopreneur like me, yes, social media is a benefit, but I am very disciplined. They call me Mr. Productivity for a reason. I don't allow social media to dictate to me how I feel, how I'm going to spend my time. And some people say, well, how do you not spend time on social media? Because I don't need to. I'd rather coach people one-on-one or help my clients in my membership. But I know that there's a certain segment of our population worldwide that they crave social media. It's the continuously bombardment of the excitement. That's why I stop looking at screens after like 8 or 8:15 at night, because I know it's going to affect my sleep. I try to tell people this, but they're afraid they're going to miss something. FOMO is real. Just remember, social media is not your friend. I keep saying this to people, Danny. It's not your friend. Even if you're paying them, some influencers pay social media hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. They're still not getting Christmas cards from Mark Zuckerberg. Okay.
No,
they are not your friend. You got to understand they're not your friend. If you post something, I posted something recently on Instagram. I got a brand new Bible, right? That two likes. I don't care. I wanted to share with it. If no one sees it, I don't go around being depressed. Now, obviously, it's a little different for a 56-year-old man to say that, but I know people who are 60 years old and 70 years old who are addicted to social media, and I know 17-year-olds who are not. So this is not an age thing. Anybody can be addicted to social media, and I would say if you're addicted to social media, especially if you're older like we are, you may need to go talk to someone about that, because if you're getting your approval, if you're getting your sense of worthiness from social media, I think you need to go talk to someone at your church, your synagogue, your mosque, or something like that, and just say, hey, listen, this thing has got me hooked. Because if you're hooked on social media now, you're not magically going to be unaddicted tomorrow. That's not how this addiction thing works.
Absolutely. I fully agree. And most people know that. I think a lot of people deep down can realize, maybe not at a super early age, like maybe not in their teens, but when you get to a certain age in life, I think it can become pretty clear, if not to you, to at least those that are around you, whether or not you have an addictive style personality. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be necessarily an addiction like drugs or alcohol. Like, you could literally have an addictive personality that has you on the verge of addiction to anything, right? And you may be on the cusp of that, and it may not even seem like it's a big deal, but it only takes one thing that attracts you to the point where you can snowball, social media being one of those things. So again, if you're not sure and you're feeling like maybe social media is getting at you, talk to someone in your church, talk to the people around you, like reach out to those, your support system around you, and say, look, does it seem like I'm being too much with this stuff, right? And listen to what they say, and, you know, really, really think about it. Because again, as Mark says, we'll just keep saying it over and over again. Social media is not your friend. And the reason we're beating on this so much is we just want you to be the best version of yourself. Yep. And being addicted to social media can be a huge time suck. It can hurt you mentally. It can hurt you physically. It can destroy your time. It's just not good. It's just not a good place to be.
100%. So we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Two Bald Nerds podcast. Remember, if you're listening to this on the day it drops, we drop a new episode every Monday. They come out at 3 a.m. Central Time because I live in Houston. But today, June 6th, is something very magical in my life. Not my birthday. That comes up on June 21st, 2 weeks from tomorrow. But WWDC is late this afternoon. So don't try to call me. My phone's on Do Not Disturb. And I sit with a 4K Apple TV and I watch the WWDC. If you're not familiar with WWDC, this is when Apple announces iOS 16, the new watchOS, tvOS, iPadOS, macOS. And so what Danny and I are going to do is we're going to watch it and we're going to give you our own unique perspective of what we like about the new operating systems and what we don't like and what we wished Apple would have, should have done, would have, could have, should have, whatever. So that's going to be on our next episode. Like I said, a lot of people are going to be coming to WWDC, but you're only going to go to one place that you hear the two bald nerds opinions on WWDC, and that's right here on this podcast. So if you want to hear our thoughts and what we thought about, think about it, check in the next episode where we cover WWDC. So, Danny, any last words before we wrap up this episode, which has been absolutely incredible?
I'll just say that I'm really looking forward to the WWDC, even though I probably won't be able to watch it live. I am looking forward to watching it on replay, and I might, if we have time, have some updates on my iPad usage. Nice. And some cool stuff that I figured out. So,
you know what they say, you know how they call it down in the South, right? They call it WWDC.
WWDC.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time and attention, for listening to this episode of the Two Bald Nerds podcast. Until next time, Danny, what should they do?
Stay nerdy.